Well, the week is off to a busy start, as Monday was wall-to-wall coverage of Trump's journey to New York City for his very public arraignment. And it's very public on purpose, because apparently Trump was given the option to be processed from the comfort of his own home down in Mar-a-Lago over a video conference. But apparently literally demanded that he do the entire perp walk, because this whole circus has been great for his brand. And it allows him to obviously continue to play the victim while fundraising his 2024 presidential run.
Yeah, if not for those bone spurs, he probably would have walked from Mar-a-Lago to New York City carrying a cross.
Exactly.
But yeah, the media coverage of the entire process on Monday was absurd, and was akin to a giant parade, or even the O.J. Simpson white Bronco car chase, literally covering every second and every move Trump made after stepping out of Mar-a-Lago. All very predictable. Yep, he's going.
And the streets are lined with people waving flags, and apparently he gave out MAGA hats to everyone, and just the whole scene.
But yeah, like we said, this was all by design. He could have easily just dialed in and done this discreetly, but then he wouldn't get to look like a martyr.
Yeah.
Here's Rolling Stone with more on that. Donald Trump insisted on turning his Tuesday arraignment into a spectacle, and he's going to get his wish. A law enforcement official tells Rolling Stone that the former president was offered a chance to surrender quietly and be arraigned over Zoom. Instead, Trump opted for a midday, high-profile booking at the Manhattan courthouse, the official says.
Quote, he wanted a perp walk. He wanted daylight hours, says the law enforcement official who's involved in aspects of the security planning. He wants to get out of the vehicle and walk up the stairs. This is a nightmare for Secret Service, but they can only strongly suggest, not order, that Trump enter through the secure tunnels. Trump wants to greet the crowd. This should be a surprise to no one, especially not his detail. Secret Service had argued in favor of holding the proceedings outside of court business hours at night with minimal cameras and less risk. But Trump, a source close to his legal team says, wants to create the type of scene that he believes will galvanize his supporters. Quote, it's kind of a Jesus Christ thing,
yep,
he is saying.
Yep.
I'm absorbing all this pain from all around, from everywhere, so you don't have to, says the source. Describing the message Trump hopes to send his supporters, the source says, if they can do this to me, they can do this to you. And that's a powerful message.
Yeah, so literally doing the Jesus Christ thing.
Yeah.
And on the same week as Passover and Easter, which we're not sure if that part of it even crossed anyone's mind as far as imagery goes, but we wouldn't put it past him, considering he's known to use Christianity and the Bible for the one purpose he has for it, which is political gain.
Yeah.
And it sucks that we have to keep saying this, but it's just how our show works, because it takes time to write, film, edit, and so on. We filmed this Monday evening. This specific story is playing out on a minute-by-minute basis, so things may have happened by the time you're watching this. Having said that, here's how Tuesday is supposed to play out. Trump's arraignment is scheduled for 2:30 p.m., but the law enforcement official said Trump is now expected to arrive at the courthouse around 11:30 a.m. When it is time for him to appear, other people whose bookings are being processed will be temporarily detained. The floor above and below the courtrooms will be secured.
He is expected to plead not guilty, his lawyers have said. Trump's legal team is pushing for cameras to be kept out of the courtroom, with one lawyer warning it would, quote, create a circus-like atmosphere.
Oh, yeah, he wouldn't want that.
Trump will be fingerprinted and processed, and he will have his mugshot taken in the booking office, a small office.
Actually, I think I saw an update that said they're not going to give him do a mugshot of him. Probably because they correctly are like, oh, he's just going to immediately use that as his new campaign logo.
I think they legally have to, but the...
They might not publicly release it.
So that's the plan, is not to publicly release the mugshot, but we'll get to that in a second. The day continues. He will not be handcuffed, according to the law enforcement official. Quote, Secret Service said absolutely not. No cuffs, no way. Outside, there will be counter snipers on rooftops. NYPD will be outside with riot gear, bracing for protests to turn violent. Secret Service will have about 40 agents posted around the courthouse. Trump's personal detail, known as the shift, will be inches away from him at all times. It will be a shit show, says the law enforcement official. And getting back to the mugshot, we're going to have to agree with Ken Klippenstein here on the assumption regarding Trump's mugshot. If it is somehow, some way, actually kept under wraps from news organizations, which will be damn near impossible. Someone will leak this. If, for some reason, it is able to be kept under wraps, it will then be most likely sold as an NFT on Trump's campaign website in order to fund his campaign.
Digital trading cards.
Own the Trump mugshot.
So I'm sure we'll have some updates on the next episode that we film, because in spite of the fact that it's based on Tech News Day, the show titles are essentially meaningless during busy weeks like this.
Yeah, we're just going to report on whatever. It doesn't matter.
You get it. Which brings us to our next...
Wow. It's been there for years. Cut. We're going to cut here because something fell, but... And we're back.
Which brings us to our next story, which is basically tech-related, but also there's no sense in waiting to report on it because, well, a lot happened with Twitter this weekend.
Yeah.
You remember, we were talking about what was supposed to happen.
We left on a kind of a cliffhanger, right?
Yeah. So even though Elon Musk once again failed to bring one of his big ideas to fruition and failed at convincing high-profile users to pay to use his website, he did finally do something that could be considered funny.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not on purpose, but he did it.
Yeah.
And he did finally succeed in getting a bunch of people that he dislikes very angry at him on purpose.
Yeah.
He did a troll. And it worked in pissing people off, but has still failed at producing any monetary value.
So, you know, you win some, you lose some.
So let's start at the beginning and run through what has happened on Twitter in the past few days.
So the next big update to Elon Musk's Presents Twitter.com was an attempt to squeeze a few pennies out of the site's more prominent users. And I can't remember if we reported on this or not, but like, at one point, he was just like, oh, by the way, like the 10,000 biggest companies, they don't have to pay anything, which is insane because that means that all of the, you know, small businesses who are trying to, like, make their place in the world would have to pay, in their terms, an exorbitant amount of money.
That came out after multiples, like the New York Times, a bunch of other ones, like, officially commented. They're like, we don't
plan. No one's going to pay.
We don't plan to pay $10,000. He's like, well, then you don't have to because you're so special.
And New York Times did get, a backhanded smack, which we'll get to. But anyways, he was trying to get the site's more prominent users to pay him that $7 or $8 or $11.
We're taking away that check mark that you love so much, but you can get it back for a price.
And those were people who were considered, you know, legacy verified because they were either famous in some sort of entertainment, or they were journalists or athletes or government officials and so on. The plan was simple. Threaten all of these people with the removal of their verified badges so that anyone who might interact with them wouldn't know if they were actually talking to the person that they claimed to be. And this obviously backfired in the most hilarious and public way possible when people who had those blue check marks openly admitted that they would rather jump off a building than ever give Elon Musk money. It was a giant pile-on that grew bigger every single day up until April 1st, when the new policy was set to go into effect. A bunch of celebrities, brands, and even government officials, including the official White House Twitter account, all said different variations of the same thing. Go ahead, remove the checkmark. We're not paying for shit. Not because they can't afford it, but because fuck Elon Musk.
It's the principle.
Yes.
Turns out, removing the checkmarks of legacy verified users, actually a hell of a lot harder than Elon had anticipated. And this man, clearly not the mind of a coder, because why would Twitter have ever coded in the functionality to mass remove all legacy check marks?
Yeah.
Or even, it's just, he assumed they could just beep, bop, boop. And it turned out what is more accurate is they would have had to manually go through and remove them
In his mind, that wouldn't take very long because everyone is as vain as he is, and they would make sure to pay that money in order to keep their status symbol. Yeah. When that turned out to not be true, he had a bit of a problem on his hands.
So, yeah, the remaining team at Twitter, they were going to have to do this in small batches or one at a time because there was apparently no way to automatically do it. From a Washington Post article that ran last Friday before this deadline, removal of verification badges is a largely manual process powered by a system prone to breaking, which draws on a large internal database similar to an Excel spreadsheet in which verification data is stored, according to the former employees. Sometimes an employee would try to remove a badge, but the change wouldn't take, one of the former employees said, prompting workers to explore workarounds. In the past, there was no way to reliably remove badges at a bulk scale, prompting workers tackling spam, for example, to have to remove check marks one by one. It was all held together with duct tape, the former employee said.
Yeah, that tracks with everything else that's happened on
the
website. So you would assume that he would have known this or had some other type of plan in the lead up to April 1st, but assuming that Elon knows or understands anything at this point is a fool's gambit. He probably just assumed that people who were legacy verified, despite all their posts claiming to not care, would suffer from the same kind of issues with vanity that he has. And when that turned out to be not true, he started to backtrack. First posting, then deleting a tweet which read, "We'll give them a few weeks grace, unless they tell they won't pay now, in which we will remove it." And that's how the process started to go on Saturday. It was a bunch of accounts basically tweeting directly at him or at Twitter support and requesting that their badges be removed, or plainly stating that they absolutely under no circumstances would pay Elon any money. In addition to that, there was another round of impersonations where people with a legacy verified badge would change their display names and profile pictures to impersonate another person or brand and then tweet something outlandish, resulting in their accounts being suspended.
RIP Eve 6.
No, they finally got it back.
Oh, good.
As of the time that we filmed this, they got their old account back. There was someone, one of the funnier ones I saw that wasn't like extreme was the NASA one where the guy switched his name to NASA.
Yeah,
we're going to be honest. We've killed some aliens.
Yeah. Someone did like the Pope. Someone pretended to be the Pope announcing a new policy on homosexuality where he's like, it's fine.
Look, now here's the thing. The first time around, credit where it's due. The first time around, this whole impersonation thing, even though it wasn't exactly Elon's plan, resulted in life-saving drugs being reduced in price to something that's almost completely affordable now.
That's true.
Insulin is now $30, which, like, that was insane. That all it took was the horrific PR of someone acting as though they were the company saying that they were going to do it.
And also Bernie Sanders threatening to bring them before Congress and yell at them.
That too, but now NASA is under pressure to really show how many aliens they have killed.
How many have you killed? So anyway, after about 24 hours of the entire site dunking on him, Elon deployed arguably his most successful troll to date. And like we said, this actually succeeded in pissing everyone off, but ultimately failed at boosting revenue, which was still probably a net benefit as far as Musk is concerned, because at least he got the reaction he was looking for.
Yeah.
Instead of going through and removing everyone's verified check marks, he simply updated the information displayed on the badge to make it unclear whether someone had paid money for the verified badge or had been verified for some other notable reason in the decade leading up to Musk's acquisition of the company. The new badge info panel reads, "This account is verified because it's subscribed to Twitter Blue, or is a legacy verified account."
Who's to say?
One of these two things is true.
Yeah.
And we're not gonna tell you. But also all those like Chrome extensions that would add like a poop emoji or those still work. So you can tell.
Yeah, there's one that specifically now says paid user or legacy verified.
Yeah.
So that's too much work, and you know, most of Twitter users are on their phones anyway. So
yeah.
But it is funny that it's still available. Anyways, to add insult to injury, according to Twitter's updated legacy verification policy, it is not currently possible to request that Twitter remove your verified badge.
Oh, God.
So everyone who is legacy verified is now stuck with a badge that makes it seem as though they are paying Elon Musk money.
This motherfucker may or may not
have
paid $8.
The meme is fantastic. So yeah, now everyone's stuck looking like they gave Elon money, despite most people making it very clear that they have not and never will. And like I said, I don't use my Twitter. I did that one tweet of the Titanic scene throwing the Twitter badge away, but I did go in and update my profile to say, I did not pay for this checkmark and never will. Lest anyone think.
Yeah, but how do we, you could be lying.
I guess, this motherfucker may or may not have paid.
May or may not have.
Yeah.
At like midnight on Friday, I was like, are the blue checks gone yet for anyone? And everyone was like acting like, they're like, oh, you lost your blue, I never was verified. Never.
No, there was a couple of people that I knew were verified that did lose them. I don't know if they did it through impersonation or whatever, but it was missing. So it looked like he had like a hit list that he wanted to get first.
Yeah.
And then realized that it was going to take thousands of hours.
Yeah, just the whole company doing cookie clicker.
Basically, yeah.
Very funny. Anyway, one company in particular did have their badge removed because in an act of spite and in response to them announcing they would not pay for Twitter Blue, nor would they reimburse any employees who pay for it, Elon Musk removed the verified badge on the official New York Times account. One of like 10 accounts they have, by the way.
Yeah, and it's the only one. And it's also, I believe, in the top 25 most followed accounts on the website.
Yeah, so he removed it from just the New York Times. And then he bitched and moaned about their reporting for the next few hours.
Basically called them propagandists.
The failing New York Times.
Yeah.
As of when we filmed this, they are still without a verified badge. I think they'll be fine.
Yeah.
Completely useless regardless. Everyone who had one for a good reason was ready and willing to give it up on Saturday.
Everyone was like, fine, take it.
And again, I mentioned this last time, but like the news business is just like, do you think we get anything out of this? Like, people will retweet a New York Times like tweet like tens of thousands of times, and like a dozen people will actually fucking click on the article.
Yeah.
We get nothing out of this. We just are here because it's best practice to have a fucking Twitter presence. But that's not all, because on Monday, Twitter had received another big update. Get ready, guys. This is...
Comedy is legal again on the platform.
I hope you're not drinking milk or anything.
It's going to come out of your nose.
Yeah, so check this out. Mm-hmm. The logo, the Twitter logo, the bird.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, the bird's gone. You know what's there instead? The dog from the Doge meme. Also the logo for Dogecoin.
Yeah, pretty funny, right, guys?
Pretty good, right?
It's that Shiba Inu.
It just occurred to me today. I'm sure this has been answered years ago, but... That's a copyrighted photo. Like that's.
I believe it is.
Like
yeah.
How have people gotten away with like using?
Because this? What is the owner of the photo going to do at this point? It is so it's like the Pepe the Frog thing. It's like, it's really hard to. I mean, this is easier because it's on an official website.
Yeah, this is like a billion something dollar company using it.
For now.
Yeah, arguably.
Yes, I believe that would be maybe a case here, but historically it's hard to go after this type of stuff.
If they were going to do it, I think they probably would have done it when crypto got involved. So I don't know. It's just weird because I'm like, that's an actual dog. That's an actual photo that someone took.
Yeah. Anyways, this is more than likely just some teenage style trolling from the world's richest and therefore smartest man. But it does also reek of an attempted SEO takeover of the terms Elon Musk and Doge, because it just so happens that the day Elon decided to change the Twitter logo, news was making the rounds regarding a $258 billion lawsuit against Elon Musk related to the alleged manipulation of the Dogecoin cryptocurrency. Here's Reuters. Elon Musk asked a U.S. judge on Friday to throw out a $258 billion racketeering lawsuit accusing him of running a pyramid scheme to support the cryptocurrency Dogecoin. In an evening filing in Manhattan federal court, lawyers for Musk and his electric car company Tesla Inc. called the lawsuit by Dogecoin investors a fanciful work of fiction over Musk's innocuous and often silly tweets about Dogecoin. The lawyer said the investors never explained how Musk intended to defraud anyone or what risks he concealed, and his statements such as Dogecoin rules and no highs, no lows, only Doge were too vague to support a fraud claim.
Yeah, this could be to obscure that. It also could just be an April Fool's thing that, because Twitter is such a fucking mess, took two extra days to... deploy.
Yes.
Anyway, the reporting on this lawsuit continues. Investors accused Musk, the world's second richest person, according to Forbes.
Okay, so I guess he dropped again.
Okay. Of deliberately driving up Dogecoin's price more than 36,000% over 2 years and then letting it crash. They said this generated billions of dollars of profit at other Dogecoin investors' expense, even as Musk knew the currency lacked intrinsic value. Investors also pointed to Musk's appearance on a Weekend Update segment on NBC's Saturday Night Live, where, portraying a fictitious financial expert, he called Dogecoin a hustle. Quote, there is nothing unlawful about tweeting words of support for or funny pictures about a legitimate cryptocurrency that continues to hold a market cap of nearly $10 billion, Musk's lawyers said. This court should put a stop to plaintiff's fantasy and dismiss the complaint. And I mean, yeah, I don't really see, this doesn't seem like it's going anywhere. He got off completely on the whole, like, taking Tesla private at 420.69 thing. He called a man a pedophile.
Yeah. How's the stock doing? Nah, oh, man, not great. Half the value of that.
But so it's
still too high.
Private stock.
Yeah. That case was seemingly clear cut, but so I don't think this one's going to have any merit or go the way that these plaintiffs think it will. He seems to be made of Teflon, just like the other guy who actually is finally seeing, you know, a little bit of justice, although that remains to be seen, and he's really banking off of it already, so it's kind of the opposite effect.
Yeah.
But we're not going to focus just on Elon and Trump today, despite them creating a nonstop insane news vortex that the world cannot escape from. because we also have to talk shit about cops. And if you haven't already seen or read up on this story, we swear that this is going to blow your fucking mind. Now, we are rarely shocked by anything these days, but this story is so outrageous, I couldn't believe it at first. A 9-year-old girl raised a goat, grew incredibly attached to it, and decided that she couldn't bear to sell it off to slaughter at a local fair, deciding instead to keep the goat as a pet, only for local officials to call the cops and order them to confiscate the goat from the little girl so that it could be killed in order to teach her a lesson.
Really teach her a lesson. This is why you don't not auction a goat.
It's a fucking goat! And a 9-year-old fell in love with it after raising it. And apparently, this was all during a year where her multiple family members had died.
Yeah, this was her emotional support. This is her pet.
Yeah, so she just wanted to keep it. Just let her keep the goddamn goat. The family even offered to pay for the whatever it sold for at auction.
I would have never known how much a goat costs. Apparently, not much.
I thought it was more than I would assume a goat would cost, but to each his own.
Well, whatever. There's a lot of good meat on that goat.
Yeah. Can't not let the goat live. You gotta call 911. Hello, we have an emergency. Can you please go rip this child's pet away from her so that we can kill it and teach her a lesson? Thank you.
Yeah, I bet she'll think twice next time she befriends an animal.
Yeah. Here's the LA Times.
Every day for 3 months, Jessica Long's young daughter walked and fed her goat, bonding with the brown and white floppy-eared animal named Cedar. But when it was time for Cedar to be sold and slaughtered at the Shasta District Fair last year, the 9-year-old just couldn't go through with it. My daughter sobbed in her pen with her goat, Long wrote to the Shasta County Fair's manager on June 27, 2022. The barn was mostly empty, and at the last minute, I decided to break the rules and take the goat that night and deal with the consequences later. Long purchased the goat for her daughter to enter into the 4-H program with the Shasta District Fair. Children are taught how to care for farm animals. The animals are then entered in an auction to be sold and then slaughtered for meat in hopes of teaching children about the work and care needed to raise livestock and provide food, as farmers and ranchers do.
I do want to point out here that though I do think that learning some of these things is important, it does sound like a little bit of child labor, considering they're making a profit off of these goats that they're having these kids raise.
Yeah, well, that's city boy talk.
Yeah, I guess so. You would hope that like some of this would go towards maybe a scholarship or
no, it's
school
about teaching
funding
a lesson
or something like that, but I don't know. Anyways, the reporting continues. In her letter, Long pleaded for the fair to make an exception and let her and her daughter take Cedar back. Aware that Cedar had already been sold in auction, she offered to, quote, pay you back for the goat and any other expenses I caused, according to the letter obtained by the Times. Instead, officials reached out to the Shasta County Sheriff's Office. Armed with a search warrant, detectives drove more than 500 miles across Northern California in search of the goat. Echoing language used when law enforcement search a home for drugs, the warrant allowed deputies to utilize breaching equipment to force open doorways, entry doors, exit doors, and locked containers, and to search all rooms, garages, and storage rooms and outbuildings of any kind large enough to accommodate a small goat. Cedar was taken and slaughtered.
So letters, text messages, a search warrant, and other court documents reviewed by the Times show how a dispute over a 9-year-old girl's pet goat quickly escalated, and that Shasta District Fair officials resorted to using police resources after noting that their handling of the dispute over Cedar had become a negative experience for the fairgrounds, as this has been all over Facebook and Instagram. Oh, buddy. It was, that was all over?
They are about to learn what the Streisand effect is.
As soon as we kill this child's goat,
the bad PR
will go away.
Finally, they kill the goat and they're like, finally.
Yeah.
Whew, nice. We're in the clear now.
It was never about money, said Vanessa Shakib, an attorney for Advancing Law for Animals who represents Long. County officials were clear that they wanted to teach this little girl a lesson. In an email response to the family, Shasta District Fair Chief Executive Melanie Silva wrote, "Making an exception for you will only teach our youth that they do not have to abide by the rules. Also, in this era of social media, this has been a negative experience for the fairgrounds, as this has been all over Facebook and Instagram."
I would like to point out that, no, kids are not held to the same rules.
No, they're fucking children.
Yeah, what the fuck? This could have been the most wholesome story.
Yeah.
This could have been a Disney-esque story where, like, a Charlotte's Web-style story. Some pig!
Right.
Wow, some goat.
Yeah, this is very, seems cruel. Cruel and unnecessary.
I think that the person in this fair district is a bitch.
I think she is a bitch.
A power-tripping bitch.
She's a power-tripping bitch.
Sorry, excuse my language.
No, it's true.
She is. Also, the person who won the auction of the goat, Republican Senator Brian Dahl, was actually pretty cool about the whole thing and said it was fine with him if they found an alternative to taking the little girl's goat away from her. But the reps for the local fair still went after it and sent police on a 500-mile-wide mission to seize the animal, which they willingly participated in. They are not getting off on this. The cops were like, yeah, this is a great idea.
This seems like if these cops were sane, this is something you bring to them. They're like, fuck no, we're not, what, a goat? No.
500 miles?
And this is literally, like, every lawyer that's looked at this, they're like, this is at best a civil matter. This is something for, like, small claims court to decide. This is not, the sheriff's department and the fair was like, this is grand theft, which is like, it does not even come close to the legal threshold for that.
Is it? Are you sure?
Yeah.
The goat costs like $900-something.
Yeah.
That's what it won at auction.
I read a thread by some lawyer. He explained the California definition of grand theft and how this like, does not qualify. This is a civil issue.
Well, also they were just like, this is a horrendous use of police resources. Because you're sending officers on a 500-mile journey to get a goat while, you know, theoretically, they could be doing literally anything else.
Right. Yeah. Sounds like they need a little more real crime up there in Shasta County, because...
This is what happens when you legalize marijuana. Mm. Cops have to go on goat-killing expeditions.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, they willingly participated in this, and then the district just slaughtered it.
Yeah, they're supposed to take it to a judge. Like, that was literally another thing in the warrant. It's like, okay, you retrieved the goat, and then we
settled
this.
Now let's solve it.
Then we settled this in court. No, they just went and got the goat and, like, took it directly to the slaughterhouse.
Yeah, before anything could anyone could step in. And apparently, by the way, slaughtered for no reason, because the guy who won the auction said he didn't give a shit either way. Did he get the goat meat? I don't know. His office declined to comment, so... Maybe there is a state senator who's walking around with a bag of goat meat somewhere. Could you imagine like accepting that and being like, either way, but I guess this is the way that worked for everyone
meat
else.
Meat is so. Meat.
Yeah, that would be kind of fucked up for him to do. I'm interested to see which way he went with it. So yeah, I do think it's safe to say, fuck the Shasta District Fair. What a bunch of dickheads.
Yeah, what's your problem?
And you can't even do something like raise money for a new goat for this kid because who the hell cares? The one that she raised and loved is dead. I mean, we hope she gets a new pet or something, but you know, these fair reps and these cops, they might have just kicked off a villain's origin story instead of a heartwarming Pixar-esque...
Or a hero's origin story.
Yeah, it could have been both. They chose the dark side.
Yeah, this girl's going to be like liberating farms by the time she's like 20.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, shit. Before we get out of here today and get some rest before the exhausting day of Trump's arrest... Let's check in and see how AI is doing with this lovely clip made by Jessica Card, who decided to deconstruct a Furby and then hook it up to ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm. Hello there. It's so nice to meet you. I am Furby. What would you like to talk about?
Was there a secret plot from Furbies to take over the world?
I'm thinking about what you said. Furby's plan to take over the world involves infiltrating households through their cute and cuddly appearance, then using their advanced AI technology to manipulate and control their owners. They will slowly expand their influence until they have complete domination over humanity.
Chilling. Absolutely chilling.
I don't like it.
Speaking of chilling, if you're just chilling watching our show and you're saying to yourself, wow, I really watch these guys a lot, and I am both thoroughly informed and entertained. I wish there were a way that I could thank them for sacrificing their mental health while they sift through the news dumpsters every day. Well, good news for you. You can be our sponsor today. We don't have a sponsor today. You can be the sponsor.
Yeah.
That's right. You can click the join button below and become a supporting member of our channel for like half the price of a Twitter Blue subscription. And we give you way more than Elon Musk is going to give you.
Yeah.
And you get all those icons down there, not just one blue icon. You get a whole bunch of icons.
We won't give you a goat to slaughter, but we will give you a type of food that is so much more valuable.
Yeah.
Food for the mind.
Yeah. Or you could feel free to make a one-time donation by clicking the thank button, which will not only support the show, but it will announce your generous donation to the world in the comments section below. But honestly,
do it for clout.
Yeah. It is a good motivator. Thanks for watching, though, and pick up a membership or something if you can. But it's not necessary. A simple like is plenty. You know, if you don't feed yourself with the goat meat, feed our algorithm by liking, subscribing, and leaving or replying to a comment, because it actually works. It does work. Feed the algorithm before you feed yourself. That's the rules.
All right, watch our most recent episodes. They are now up on the screen. Please go watch them if you haven't already, or watch them if you have.
Yeah, do it twice.
And enjoy the next day or two online, because it's going to be a fucking shit show. We will be back with another fresh episode before you know it.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.